God bless your hearts. It's Friday, February 16th, 2024, and we're continuing in our study of Psalm 119. Today, our focus is on the 12th section. We'll be covering verses 89 through 96. And each of the eight verses begin with the Hebrew alphabet letter Lamed, L-A-M-E-D. Perhaps you recall from previous studies how often David asked God to teach him. And the word teach is this word Lamed. And its meaning focuses on the oral law, the spoken law, rather than the written law of the Torah. David repeatedly asked God to Lamed him, to train him. David desired to understand, most of all, how to apply the written laws in his day-to-day behavior. He wanted to be able to walk the understanding of the word with God's wisdom. David was trained by his parents from a child. He knew a lot of the word. However, the word is infinite. Even adults who hold well-known truths in their hearts, they can gain a deeper understanding as they continue to return to the word in daily study. No matter our age, no matter our years in the word, we are first and foremost always children, God's children, when we approach comprehending the word. Larry and I, we've often laughed at ourselves in our quest for spiritual understanding because, you know, we've been very conscious over the years to just thank God daily for fitting two more verses together for us. Just God, just give us, just fit two more verses together today. And many times when he did, we would get so excited having gained a deeper insight into a truth, yet we would sit and look at each other and say, you know what? We have just seen the tip of the iceberg. But you know, when you see it, you know more is there. So you just want to get right back in and thank God for showing you a little more. You go on a little bit, you see a little more. No one reaches the destination of complete understanding in this life. That is not going to happen. And it's so true in our approach to the Word of God. So we keep mining, M-I-N-I-N-G. We keep mining for the gold and silver of God's Word. And we're always gathering that sweetness of God, that as sweet as honey from the honeycomb. And so Lamed means to teach, but it's more in the sense of training and instructing or directing. It's hands-on. The original meaning was actually to prick, sting, incite, goad, like a shepherd might prod cattle. And the intention was to move them where you wanted them to go. Because cattle, sheep, all those, they wander off, they get distracted, and you won't want all of them in a certain place. And you know, pricks and goads for animals and small switches for children, they were simply to get their attention so that then you could direct them where they needed to be. They were never meant for punishment. And I do realize, you realize, even Christians have used different instruments, whether it's a wooden spoon, a little switch, for punishment, maybe a belt. But the intent of their use was to get the attention so you could get them back on track. And of course, in the case of a child distracted from your instruction, you get their attention, and there are many ways that could be done. For eons of time, it has been a devilish pillar of belief that God punishes people when they do something wrong. Biblically, we know that it is the devil stabbing us in the back. Because when we fall into his temptations, the punishment is at the end of that romp. So, due to the trickle-down effect, the erroneous thinking about our Heavenly Father punishing us has affected how many people work with their children. And it's easy enough to understand how this has happened. It is sad. It is tragic in a lot of situations. But the truth is, God disciplines us through his loving kindness. That's what David was always asking for, his loving kindness. Because remember, that is God's nature. He is not on again, off again. He doesn't have to punish us. We aren't obliging him out of fear. Our children would think the same way. If the threat of physical punishment is all that keeps our children doing what we say, how sad is that? Training with love and gentleness of God requires our time, and it requires our patience. It requires our trust in the Word of God. Punishment might work faster, but what does it produce in our children? And then that false doctrine is perpetuated to yet another generation. So even though we say that God is love, we're not teaching that God is love when we have this split personality. The goal of being taught is learning. And as with the word lamed, it's a heart knowledge that is our destination. Literally, it means, this is what David is asking. Teach me to have a heart that understands the knowledge that I have. You know, contrary to popular thought, we hear it all the time. I see it in ads. I read it in magazines. I hear it all over the place. Knowledge is power. Get knowledge. But knowledge alone is not power at all. An understanding heart unlocks God's wisdom in utilizing his knowledge. Isn't that what Solomon asked God to give him? An understanding heart? So I'd have to say that the theme of the 12th section of Psalm 119 is really about God's faithfulness to his nature and to the integrity of his word. You know, anyone can say something correctly. We can be on point in our speech. But is there personal integrity behind the words to where what we do matches what we say? In Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In your study, you may see that the word of God here is El, E-L. And E-L can actually refer to any deity. It can refer to a false god, idols, or even a mighty hero. But if it referred to a mighty hero, it would be the mightiest of heroes. And the context determines the sense. In this verse, in Numbers 23:19, the context is the mighty and one true God of Israel. That's the God they're talking about. And this mighty, true God of Israel was never, nor will ever, have the fallible attributes of human beings or false gods, such as lying, deceiving, disappointing, or failing in any manner. Therefore, the words from God's mouth are trustworthy because the author, God, is faithful in all that he is, in all that he has spoken, and in all that he does. Everything lines up perfectly. Perfectly. Nothing goes outside of his framework, of his eternal existence. I think of Psalm 138, verse 2, and I would actually like to begin reading in verse 1 and read this whole psalm. It's short, because the context of this beautiful declaration concerning God is, it's very stunning, I think. So in verse 1, a psalm of David, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with the strength, with strength in my soul. See, David knew the written law. He knew God's promises, and he would have been familiar with those records in the Old Testament where God delivered those who called upon his name, those that cried out, save me. Verse 4, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. And isn't that what happened when the king checked on Daniel in the morning and found that Daniel's God had saved him from the mouth of the lions? And Daniel 6, starting in verse 25, it says, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, the nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree, this is King Darius, that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be unto the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Look at that. King saw that Daniel, when he was thrown to the lions, that God protected him. And he changed his entire decree. Similarly, under King Nebuchadnezzar, which happened before this incident with Daniel, God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you remember, from the fiery furnace. And in Daniel chapter 3, verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, Nebuchadnezzar says, therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So, isn't that fabulous? That's God's word magnified above all his name. That's the faithfulness of the author to line up with everything that he says. Not one jot, not one tittle, Remember what Jesus said? None of it would pass undone. David knew those records that ascribed wisdom to these men who received these amazing deliverances in the face of these attacks, these stark, horrible adversities. And these deliverances were a living testimony to the faithfulness, the power, the might of Almighty God. David wanted God's word to live in him, that he could exercise wisdom according to the living word of God, that he would actually live what was spoken. So we'll continue in Psalm 138, verse 5. We'll pick it up again to finish this Psalm 138. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knows afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. So that's how God magnified all his word above all his name. It is a living word, a faithful word, because it hath been breathed by a living and faithful God, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, in whom there is light and no darkness at all, in whom there is divine love all the time. So now we'll go back to Psalm 119, pick it up in verse 89. So it says, Lamed, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There's no beginning, no end. That's forever. O Lord is the word Jehovah. It is the proper name, of course, for the one true God. It only refers to the one true God. It is always and only used of the Lord God. Thy word refers to anything, any matter, any act, any chronicle, any saying, any commandment, speech, or utterance that would come from Jehovah, the one true God. His word is settled in heaven, meaning it is established in the abode of God. It is stationed in an upright position and is perfect to stand firm forever. No beginning, no end. And furthermore, verse 90, Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. The author, the one true God, is steadfast, firm, and trustworthy. That's the true character of God. And that's how we make an informed decision about trusting His word. We check out the author. We compare what he has said in the word with what we see him do. We see the Old Testament records that are there for our learning. We walk out on his word, and we experience that he backs up every word we walk out on. He promises and he performs. Faithfulness, it's an amazing attribute. Our God is faithful, and within his faithfulness, there is just this spiritual recognition and really a feeling in our souls that we are absolutely safe and secure. And such an experience leads us to trust him without question. And this is available in any period of time. to those living during any period of time. It is available without partiality to the quality, condition, or class of people. All who call upon his name. All who call upon his name. He hears and he loves hearing. That's the way God set it all up. That's how he has directed things to work. And you know what? Despite the rigorous and hate-filled attempts of the devil himself to overthrow God's word remains upright, settled, and established in God's abode. Verse 91 says so. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. I really love this verse, and the Amplified Bible makes me appreciate it even more. It reads, they continue this day according to your ordinances, for all things, all parts of the universe are your servants. You know, God didn't set up the world and then say something's missing. No, we were in his heart. We were in his foreknowledge. And he set the world up. So it was for us. Everything is for us. Everything God has ever done was for us. For those who would believe. You know, the universe is everything that ever was or ever will be. It's the entire cosmos. Earth is simply a part. So everything in the universe was set up for us. And it's very interesting to consider. At some point in time, all those things that God established in the universe, we're going to have something. It's going to affect us somehow in a good way. Because God made it for us. He set it up just the way he wanted it. God, who perfectly and completely knows all things from their beginnings throughout eternity, established and directed all of the parts of the universe to serve his will. This assures us that no matter how intently the devil is on destroying God's universe, he's going to fall on his face, flat on his face. And one more thing that's good to know. Destroying the earth is beyond our abilities. God established it, and it is fixed. Verse 92, David realized that. It says, unless the law had been my delight, I should have perished in my affliction. You know, there's a lot more than knowledge of the truth in this verse. The laws therein caused him to delight in his heart. And that's why he always wanted more. Verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me, revived me, made me alive, awakened my soul, opened my heart. You know, David has gained some understanding to say this. He pronounces that he will not forget nor cease to care about God's mandates. He has understanding up close and personal. In fact, he said it was because of those God-given mandates that he was time after time after time revived in his soul. Verse 94, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. And you gotta love that kind of heart and boldness with God. Hey, I belong to you. Save me. I'm yours. Don't forget it. You got a responsibility here. Seeking God's precept is such a large canopy. It includes all of our free will worship, and aspects of godly behavior issuing from a pure heart. It includes inquiring of God, consulting Him before we knee-jerk, our daily prayers and worship, our godly practices, our study, and seeking from Him the right application of truth, and much, much more. I mean, life with God, it's deep and wide. Verse 95, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. And it was true. The ungodly eagerly laid in wait to exterminate him. They wanted to kill him. And you think of all the records in the Old Testament. The enemies of God were always after those who loved God. Not just David. Many, many. It was a never-ending thing. That word consider means that he would be discerning and attentive to think or meditate diligently. He put the word together in sequential patterns. I know Larry in the past, in many past teachings, has referred to this as developing links of believing, where a truth discovered would link onto something we already knew, like fitting two more verses together. And this past year, maybe past couple of years, we have found so much enjoyment in a musical family. They're retired now, but they have a song called Stepping Stones of Faith. And it goes, the main thing goes, stepping stones of faith can make you walk on the top of the water. It's just such a great mind picture. And that's a good description of it as well. Verse 96. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. And again, the Amplified Bible offers clarity here that's just very stunning. I have seen that all human perfection has its limits, no matter how grand and perfect and noble. Your commandment is exceedingly broad and extends without limits into eternity. So these eight verses and their meanings lead us right back to 1 Timothy 4:15 with Paul's exhortation. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, verse 16, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In any day and time, we do well to embrace Paul's exhortation as our own. I've loved this section in the middle of the longest psalm, how it illustrates for us the faithful nature of our Lord God and His faithfulness to the word He authored. It is God breathed. And I trust these verses will wrap around you God's all-knowing and all-powerful attributes so that you can spiritually sense in your soul how safe you are in His care. So here's something to practice this week. Lord, I'm yours. Save me. So God bless you. Our love to you all.